Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour number two live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. We're going to go to Vegas in the draft. Joel Klatt around the corner. Jimmy Johnson last hour. Charles Davis. Very exciting draft stuff. Now, Joy, here's the thing. I don't do mock drafts. Because you're just setting yourself up. It's hard enough to pick football games. If I'm supposed to guess what teams are going to do in a mock draft, I don't do them. I've been asked, like, by Fox Bet, do a mock draft. I'm like, why be wrong? I mean, at least I think I'm not going to be wrong on picks, even though this year I was barely, I don't even think I was 500. Nobody guesses the mock draft right. So I said this morning to the staff, I said, this is what I would do. This is what I think the team should do. I don't think... I may go 0 for 10 on my guesses.
So you're more, these are less guesses and more what you would do if you were the GM.
Well, yeah, like I have 5 or 6 NFL GMs, maybe 7, that I text regularly.
But it's also your dream job.
It's my dream job. So it's my dream job. So this is what I would do, and this is my rationalization for every pick. So here's my top 10 picks. Okay, Jacksonville Jaguars. I would take the edge. He's a pure rush edge. Aiden Hutchinson. Highest-ranked college football player. I know what he is. Wildly productive. Led the Big Ten with 14 sacks. I know exactly what I get. He has all the production I need. I want production, not just traits. They also don't need a left tackle. Cam Robinson signed with them, so they don't need one of these offensive linemen. I'd go get big conference, big game, Aiden Hutchinson. Number two, if I'm the Lions, I get the corner from Cincinnati, Sauce Gardner, who I actually think is the best player in the draft. But I don't think Jacksonville should go there. Sauce Gardner never allowed a passing touchdown in college. Did not allow a catch over 20 yards. Nick Saban said when they played him, they went away from him. And the Lions' pass defense allowed 69 touchdown passes last year. It stunk. The Lions drafted Jeff Okuda, a corner, a couple years ago, and it didn't work out. So what? Move him to two. Try to save the pick. Go get a corner. You got Aaron Rodgers twice a year in the division. You got Minnesota's got Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Go get an elite corner. Number three, Icky. Icky Ikwanu is an offensive lineman from NC State. Versatile, zero miss. I don't know how great he'll be, zero chance to miss. Great feet, 320, allowed two sacks in 880 snaps. That is big boy football. The Texans' offensive line stinks, 29th in the league, and they're taking offers on Laremy Tunsil. So, to me, they don't have their quarterback yet. Maybe they do Davis Mills. We don't know. But give Davis Mills a shot. Go get the best offensive lineman probably in the draft. Number four, if I'm the Jets, I take Kayvon Thibodeau, Oregon. Again, wildly productive like Aiden Hutchinson. Wildly productive, very dynamic. The Jets have not had a player with 10-plus sacks in 7 years, Muhammad Wilkerson. This kid was just a sack machine. Now, it is the Pac-12, which is not the SEC or the Big Ten. But to me, I talked to two GMs who I trust on him. They like him. They don't know if they love him, but he's going to play. He's twitchy. He's strong. The bottom line, if you just ask him to rush the passer, he can do that. Can he play in space? He can do that. Number five, Giants. I'd go get Evan Neal, massive mountain-sized left tackle, Alabama. Don't love his feet, but he's a three-year starter under Nick Saban, 6'7", 320. The Giants had the 30th ranked offensive line. I was told by a member of the organization that the only offensive lineman they have they really like is Andrew Thomas, left tackle. Get Evan, move him right, whatever. Get your tackles right for Daniel Jones. I don't think it's a great draft, but this is of great need, so I would go get him. Again, his feet can be a little slow, but that dude's going to be hard to get around. Number six, this is probably a reach, but I would take Malik Willis if I was Carolina. They've already told Sam Darnold they're going to draft a quarterback, so just go draft the best one. I mean, why draft one in the third round that's going to be not as good as Sam Darnold? He's wildly dynamic. And again, I think you can put him in the offense pretty early because of his raw athleticism. He'll figure out stuff. I wish the Niners last year would have played Trey Lance a little more. Get him in there. Let him make plays. Number seven, Giants again. Now, again, this is not going to happen, but I'd take Trayvon Walker. Most people think he's going to go number one. He's not productive enough. He was a one-year starter. He's not productive enough. That's not my thing. You got to give me numbers and sacks. Now, I do think he's a really big-time athlete, and everybody loves his traits, and he'll probably go number one. But I say this all the time. Need over raw talent. Like, what do I need? To me, I look at the Giants. They could use this kind of athlete. But he did not play up to his potential at Alabama or at Georgia. He did not. I mean, you watch Georgia's defense this year. We didn't talk about this guy nearly as much as the linebackers. Number eight, Falcons. I would take Garrett Wilson, Ohio State wide receiver. I think he's the best receiver. Also, this matters. He got better every year at Ohio State. And Calvin Ridley's not around because of the gambling stuff. He'll be back next year. This receiving core is a mess. They lost Ridley and the other guy to the Bucs. So it's a tight end and a bunch of nonsense. He got better every year. He's Calvin Ridley for a year. Then Calvin steps in. And those guys battle it out for number one. But remember, the Falcons are going to get a quarterback next year. So wouldn't it be nice if you gave him Garrett Wilson with a year under his belt and Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts? Number nine, Seahawks. This is so Seahawks. I would take the cornerback Derek Stingley, who I have huge concerns about busting. He's never been as good as he was his freshman year, but the kid is ridiculous. Three-year starter at LSU. Just long, athletic, fast. He is a sensational player. And by the way, you're in a division with probably a Deebo Samuel, a DeAndre Hopkins. The Rams got Cooper Kupp. I mean, the Rams got their Jalen Ramsey. Is he your Jalen Ramsey? So I would go get, and by the way, the one area I like for the Seahawks is safety. So you could really round out your secondary here. They don't have a lot of strengths in Seattle, but if this kid hits, you got a really nice secondary. You got lockdown corner and two really, really aggressive safeties. And then number 10, the Jets, they may trade out of it. I would take Charles Cross. Listen, Zach Wilson's your quarterback. You got to give this kid a fair chance. You got to give this kid a fair chance. He's probably going to – they're bailing on Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle who's had weight issues and injury issues. Reportedly, they're bailing on him. He's a miss. And, you know, they'll probably trade him draft day. But Cross is one of these guys that people don't see. Not a great chance. Maybe not an all-time left tackle. But, I mean, to me, if I was the Jets, I would go real heavy offensive in the draft. And there it is. I don't know if I'll get any of these right. This is what I would do. This is what I would do. And I'd probably go 0 for 10. Let's bring in Joel Klatt. He's in Vegas. You know, Klatt doesn't feel like a Vegas guy to me. He's a very family guy. Look at this. So I'm probably going to go 0 for 10. What did you make of my picks and my rationalization? Anything jump out to you?
I mean, listen, it was decent. It was decent. You're gonna go like, I don't know, maybe 3 for 10. Will you take 3 for 10?
Sure. Yeah, I would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. I'll take 3 for 10.
I will tell you the closer we get to the draft, Colin, it does look like Jacksonville's gonna take Trayvon Walker, which I think is fascinating because I'm with you. I think Aiden's the best player in the draft. I think he should get selected number one, but the Jaguars are looking at Trayvon Walker and they're dreaming of this upside that they feel like is higher than what Aiden's upside can be. The problem with that is that you know what Aiden Hutchinson
yes.
can and will bring. And let me give you an example. I think that maybe this is too much praise. I'm not sure. I think Aiden
It's windy in Vegas. We lost Joel Klatt. We'll try to get him back. I think he had a very interesting point. He was just about ready to crush it. I am always one of these. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get potential. Like, I do. I think there's value in potential. Boy, not if I have a top two or three pick. You got to give me. I get, you know, like, so here's the proposition. Trayvon Walker could be a 9 or a 3. Aiden Hutchinson feels like a guaranteed 6.5, 7. I get guaranteed production.
You need to have closer to a guarantee at that end of the draft.
Now, we get to the fourth round. I'm going to take that guy. Big ceiling could whiff. I'm fine with it. The way it's always been in the NFL, a first rounder, that's going to be a starter from day one and can really play. Round 2 and 3, a starter eventually. You get to round 4, I'm going to take big gambles at 4. So Joel Klatt joining us again. What were you saying about the Georgia Aiden Trayvon Walker? What was your thoughts?
Well, my thought was that I think Aiden could have a J.J. Watt-style career. I think he can have that level of impact. And the point being is that he's really good at everything. Now, Michigan used him in a very specific way. That was because we're trying to maximize the one thing that they felt like he was better. But that doesn't mean he wasn't great against the run up as a sneak, which I know that that's like on the tight end. He was heavier. He got faster. He worked out to the point where he lost 15, 18 pounds because they wanted him to so that he could be in a two-point stance. I think Hutchinson's the best player in the draft, and I think Detroit is going to get him at 2, and they're going to be ecstatic about it because he's a Dan Campbell type of guy.
I don't think it's as good a wide receiver draft as many are saying. I do think Garrett Wilson, the thing that I like about him, he just got better every year. And so, I mean, it reminds me of Michael Pittman at USC. He's putting the work in. It's not just about coaching and a great football school. The kid is getting better. He's achievement-oriented, results-oriented. I like him. Your thoughts on Garrett Wilson? If I was Atlanta without Calvin Ridley, you got to get this. Whoever the quarterback is they draft next year, you got Kyle Pitts, you'll get Ridley. You got to give this guy some weapons. You got to give that rookie quarterback a chance. What do you make of Wilson?
Wilson's my top receiver. I agree with you. Here's how I'd categorize him. Even for a college kid, he was a pro's pro. He worked hard. He was diligent. Mickey Moriarty, their strength coach, said that he was a great worker in the weight room. And then one thing that I remember, one of his young teammates, Colin.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose Joel Klatt. It's windy there. As I put my mock draft up again, this is not a great draft. You know, here's what I thought about the other day. Because remember a couple years ago, there were a lot of discussions about CTE and moms not wanting their sons to play. And in Los Angeles, I have a friend whose son is going to play Pac-12 football. And he said to me 6 months ago, we were having dinner, and he said, in my neighborhood, I'm looked as I'm a crazy person. I let my son play football. Now, that's not Ohio. That's not Louisiana. That's not Texas. But he said, in California, in my neighborhood, people look at me like I'm a Martian when I say, yeah, my son plays high school football. And he's like, I played high school football. I loved high school football. I made friends for life. But there is, and the NFL knows it, a growing concern about injuries. That's why the NFL is making this practices easier. And it's working, by the way. We're getting fewer and fewer injuries. You get to the end of the year, these teams are almost all healthy. Lakers, Rams were missing one wide receiver. You know, it's like Cincinnati was missing one starter, a tight end. So, but I did think this draft, I thought to myself this, is this the first draft that moms and their reluctance to let their sons play, is that this is going to become the norm? Every other draft, every third draft, just isn't very good.
No, I think it's just, one, there's not a bunch of quarterbacks in this draft. Anytime there's a draft where there are a lot of high-level quarterbacks, there's more discussion about trades. There's, you know, more pressure on teams at the top. Who are they going to go with? So I don't know that this is going to become the norm. It's just a matter of the number one position that we talk about the most being readily available and impactful in the draft. I mean, there's two quarterbacks that we're talking about possibly going in the first round, and neither one of them are high-profile guys.
I hope you're right. My mind, that I don't remember a draft in my life, and I'm sure there was one, that's this blah.
Well, yeah, it's just, I think it's just, it's not that it's blah. I think that there's not any...
There's no stars.
There's no stars, but there's also no quarterbacks. Like, there's two quarterbacks. They're not superstars. I don't think this is going to be the norm. Because and as far as, like, you know, people not playing football, it's still the number one sport. I get what you're saying
because
about
baseball,
California, but more kids are playing flag football now in the younger stages.
Right, but baseball participation has gone up.
Sure.
And a lot of that, moms are like, you're not playing football, you're playing baseball.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I would encourage my son, if I had one, to play whatever he enjoyed and was good at.
Yeah.
But I'd probably nudge him towards baseball. They have guaranteed contracts at every position.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think parents think about all that stuff. I mean, I've said
it's not
that,
a safety thing for me. Like, if he's great at football, he's going to play football. My entire family plays football.
So, but it is interesting is that not only the mom factor, which, by the way, the NFL went really marketing toward moms. Remember a couple years ago we were talking about the NFL really made a point to sell moms, and you saw ads, and there was, because they saw what's happening with participation numbers. Leagues see participation numbers. And I when I look at football, it'll always be popular in the South, Texas, Midwest. But there is, I'll give you an example. Not only do moms, you know, they always say moms control the household. Moms are the ones, they run the household. They run the bills, make the decisions. That's kind of, in my life, my wives have, you know, I've had two wives and they've kind of run the household. Also, kids change cultures before adults. Shoes, music, right. Fashion. Kids, I don't have any influence there. Kids do. When you watch California high school recruiting, and California kids are different than sometimes small market kids and rural kids. Their kids here grow up, I mean, it's a 4-minute drive to Hollywood. Like, it's a big city, and it's right around the corner.
Sure, it's a distracted market.
Yeah. California high school recruiting has changed dramatically. USC now has to leave the state for running backs. This state, in the last 10 years, there's no running backs left. Why? Because that's the position. You don't get a second and third big contract. The kids have figured it out. The kids want to be quarterbacks. They want to be wide receivers. They want to be edge rushers and corners. If you look at California high school recruiting, USC has signed two running backs in the last week, Texas. So in California, kids are like, no. The culture is changing in football in America. We're going to have better quarterbacks, better wide receivers, greater corners, amazing edge rushers. It's going to be harder and harder to find guys in the trenches, linebacker. We just had two Super Bowl teams, both bad at linebacker. Now, that could have been coincidental. But I do think there is something there This is the only draft I remember that is just, I don't think there's any star. Now, there could be a star because let's say there's a player like Aiden Hutchinson and he ends up, the team gets better. You know, Jacksonville gets Trevor Lawrence. The division's wonky. They start winning and he becomes in their system really good. But I don't remember a draft that was this weak. I don't.
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see how it will be graded 3 years from now because we keep talking about it this way. Because there are, half the league is undrafted and there's gems found all over the place. The best player in history is a sixth rounder. So I'm interested to see how it grades out 3 years from now, but I don't think this is going to be the norm. I think next year with the quarterbacks that are supposed to be in that draft and then the draft after that with guys like Caleb Williams, it's going to correct itself.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is coming up, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. Do you want to watch the game like a fan or have the mind of a scout? The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before.
If you want to learn everything about this year's prospects ahead of the draft and learn what makes them stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. Who are the top five draft prospects at each position? Which quarterbacks are going in the first round? Who are the top 50 prospects in the draft? Who should you put in your mock draft? We have all the answers for you.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
USFL action continues with a Saturday doubleheader on Fox at 4 Eastern. The Tampa Bay Bandits take on the Houston Gamblers, and the Birmingham Stallions battle the New Orleans Breakers.
Jeremy Fowler, a reporter, says no chance, zero chance, the Raiders tight end, the great one Darren Waller, is traded to the Packers, even though a Cheesehead TV, apparently a very popular blog in Green Bay, Packerland, said it's very, very close. Jeremy Fowler's like, nope, not close. confirming my belief, which is it's nonsense. He's not a big enough cap hit. He's too great of a player. Everybody would want Darren Waller, but I think this is the Packers leaking it to a very team-friendly blog, and it makes it illustrates how they're going for it, sending a message to Aaron Rodgers. We're all in. We're trying to get better. We're this close. So when they fail, and if they can't get the receiver they want in the draft, hey, we worked. We tried. We did. You're massaging Aaron a little bit here and massaging the media. There is no history. By the way, Brian Gutekunst, the active GM, says Aaron will be heavily involved in developing wide receivers. Well, there is no history. This is just me talking data. There is no history that Aaron works with rookie receivers. Randall Cobb is a rookie. His buddy, 350 yards. Jordy Nelson, rookie year, 360. Devontae Adams, rookie year, 400. Last year, Amari Rodgers, 4 catches. And Devontae's a Hall of Famer, and Jordy Nelson's damn close. So Aaron's never had a rookie receiver with more than 40 catches. And we're talking Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson. These are really good players. So, I mean, Russell Wilson had Tyler Lockett, who was considered almost a reach and a slot guy first year. 50-plus catches, almost 700 yards. Russell Wilson first year with DK Metcalf. Remember he fell in the draft? 60 catches, 900 yards. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, boom, home run. That's not Aaron. Aaron's got trust issues with the media, our government, the vaccine, wide receivers, the front office. That's not an opinion. He doesn't trust the government. He didn't trust vaccines. He doesn't trust the media. He didn't trust the front office. He doesn't, you know, obviously, he's not going to lean in to young wide receivers. So I think this, and I'm again, Devontae Adams is a Hall of Fame player. And it took him until year 3 to pop. Jordy Nelson, somewhere between year 3 and 4, he popped. That's the precedent. That's the history. And I would argue that Aaron has, over time, with more wealth, has gotten a little more prickly. I think he's a little more difficult to convince to throw to a young guy than he was 5 years ago. I mean, Amari Rodgers was a very good slot pick. It's not part of the offense. And it's not like they didn't need him. They didn't have a dependable two. Randall Cobb, his buddy, got hurt. So Green Bay was a one-trick pony at wide receiver. They had a very good slot receiver. And they didn't use him at all. So I think Aaron's more difficult and less willing today than 5 or 6, 7 years ago before he got that generational wealth to convince go with the young guys. For the record, Brady often struggled with young guys too. Some of these kind of legendary quarterbacks, you know, you got to be in your spot. If you're not in your spot, I'm not throwing the football. But so there you go. Gutekunst says, Aaron's heavily involved. Everything in Green Bay sort of works on Aaron time. If, you know, in the offseason, he kind of checks out. Russell Wilson does not. Aaron sort of does. That's his thing. It's his right. He's made his money. He's got his legacy. But I continue to say this. I think they needed to be far more aggressive in the wide receiver pursuit in free agency. I would have gone out and got DK Metcalf and made it work. You got to give Aaron a one because right now it's Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb. They're past their prime. Alan Lazard feels like a 3 or a 4 and a rookie who you essentially did not throw to last year. He had 4 catches on a team that needed a guy to make 50 catches. So I don't buy the Darren Waller reports at all. Could be wrong. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Ben Simmons never made his highly anticipated debut with the Nets this season. He reportedly met with Brooklyn's front office before sitting out Game 4 and told them that he is suffering from a mental block that caused stress, which triggered the back issues. But for his teammates, the confusion doesn't come from the injury itself. They reportedly wanted to see more resolve from Simmons and looked at it as a lack of attempt to play an effort to be in uniform and pushing his body in the postseason. So it appears there is still some confusion as to what's going on with Ben
from
Simmons.
The people closest to him, there's confusion. Forget me. His teammates, there's confusion.
Yeah, I maintain what I've said from the beginning with the situation, which is I felt like this trade was a move for next year. I never anticipated seeing Ben Simmons in any actuality this season.
And you didn't.
And I did not.
But you know what, Joy? Had there been a Game 5.
Maybe. I also don't think it served Ben Simmons in any way to put out that he might be available for Game 4 because it built up anticipation and expectations that clearly were in no way capable of being filled. Now, as far as the situation as a whole, when he is healthy, whenever that may be, let us know. I am deboarding the train, the follow the Ben Simmons when he's going to be available or back train.
Yeah.
Because every time that there is some reported news about it, it turns out to not come to fruition. As far as when he is going to contribute or how he's going to contribute, I don't know. I think this there's potential for this Nets organization and team to look very different next year. And I got to be honest with you, even if he was out there, I don't know that it would have made much of a difference. He wasn't going to play that much. He hadn't played in almost a year. He had never played with these teammates. But I also don't think that Ben Simmons is that much of a contributor to a winning organization because we've never seen any evidence that that's true.
I think that's very fair. Even in college, that was the knock. He wasn't a winning player. He was sort of indifferent to coaching. And
there's no question that he's talented or that we wouldn't have all this fuss about him. But what you do with that talent and how you integrate that into a system and a culture and a team and being available, contributing, filling a role, all those things, that's what you're seeing with the teams that remain in the postseason.
Yeah.
They are well-balanced, well-coached teams.
Yeah.
This has been an incredible first round. And part of that is because there is no, you know, as we discussed, a great team that is head and shoulders above everyone else. But I also think it speaks to the level of balance that the NBA has been working on and is somewhat reaching when it comes to let's build teams that are competitive year after year after year. And then we can level up by bringing in a free agent. And then maybe we draft, you know, a star. But let's not be a disaster and drag our fan base and organization, and then try and take these big swings to try and reach a championship.
Yeah.
Look at the teams that are available still.
Yeah.
They have well-balanced teams. They're well-run. I don't know how Ben Simmons fits into that, even if he is healthy. So the Cardinals will reportedly pick up Kyler Murray's fifth-year option by the May 2nd deadline. That will move Kyler into $29.7 million guaranteed for the 2023 season.
That goes a long way. Even with rising house prices, that goes a long way.
You know, almost $30 million is still a pretty good check.
You get a nice ranch-style home in Scottsdale, two-car garage.
He's reportedly expected to agree on a long-term extension at some point this summer following all this off-season drama.
Let's be honest. This is good because Arizona's fun, and we're at Fox. It's an NFC team. We already lost Russell Wilson. I want more. AFC's got all the fun quarterbacks. I don't want Kyler Murray going over to Houston. Thank you. I work at Fox. We want more good quarterbacks.
I don't understand how the drama happens. I understand when guys want to be paid a certain amount and you're trying to, you know, work the deal out and there's negotiations. Like, of course, we have negotiations in our business as well. What I don't understand is why it is a bad thing to have to pay your quarterback. That's the one position you should be excited to have to pay.
Yeah.
You should also be budgeting to have to pay. When you see what other quarterbacks are getting, maybe start messing with your cap a little bit so you don't have to go through these dramatic situations with your quarterback.
Well, a lot of it, you got to hit on draft picks. I mean, But
nothing else matters if you don't have the quarterback. Don't listen to Dan Campbell. Nothing else matters if you don't have the quarterback. You got him. Is he perfect? Who is? Other than Patrick Mahomes. What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? You had this situation already with Josh Rosen. You've already experienced this. Don't forget how quickly you forget. So this, I don't think that there was ever a chance that Arizona was going to move on from Kyler Murray. I do think Kyler Murray wants to stay there. I think he's using the leverage that he has, which is totally fine. And he is right to do that. But also if you're an organization and you draft a guy and you see that he's good, maybe you should start budgeting. Just maybe start budgeting to have to pay the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to have to pay a quarterback.
Yeah.
It means you have one. And they're expensive because they're important. So the Bears organization has a new regime this year. They have coach Matt Eberflus and general manager Ryan Poles. And they have to develop Justin Fields and put the right pieces around him. But Poles doesn't like using the word rebuild.
The rebuild thing's like super sensitive. We're constructing a very good football team. Regardless of how you use whatever term that is, we just continue to add talent and young talent, older talent, whatever it takes to make the best team possible. You know, actually, you know, late night with the wife, you're watching TV, you get like the home network where, you know, there's some rooms that are good. You might have to redo some countertops over here, some fresh paint over there. Some rooms are good. You don't need to touch them. So there's talent on this team that I'm excited to build around and build with.
Well, Robert Quinn's apparently on the market. Older. And by the way, sack machine, but it's getting closer to time. They spend a lot of money on their front seven defensively. So I think they need to draft wide receivers. You got to give Justin Fields a shot, folks. You spent last year was getting offensive linemen and a quarterback. Go get them receivers. I like their backs, actually. I like their tight end, their back. Go get more receivers.
Well, they traded Khalil Mack this offseason.
They did.
Obviously lost Allen Robinson in free agency to the Rams. They released Tariq Cohen and Danny Trevathan. They're absolutely in a rebuild. You don't get a new GM and a new head coach without being in a rebuild. It's not a reboot. You were 6-11 last year.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, doesn't mean you have to like the term, but you do. You should be, if you're hiring a new coach and a new GM, and tearing everything down to the foundation.
Also,
and maybe you have those foundational pieces that he's talking about, but there has to be a shift in Chicago. You have Justin Fields. You should be doing everything imaginable to build around what he does best. Otherwise, what's the point?
Also, Chicago's always had this sort of working class, we do it with defense. Those days are over. Got to go get players. Got to get skill players. Got to get better. They have really weak wide receivers. Like, go get. You lost Allen Robinson. Come on now. You couldn't afford Allen Robinson. The Rams, who pay everybody, could afford him. So your cap situation's weird. To me, they got to go heavy on skill people. The tight ends, the backs are okay. You got Justin Fields. Draft a couple receivers. You could go get some cheap corners. You'll be fine. If Justin's good, it won't feel nearly like a rebuild. If he's not good, it'll feel like a rebuild.
No, but you need it, when you have a young quarterback, you should be paying those free agent players. You're not paying your quarterback.
Yep. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, the Chiefs did it. They went back-to-back.
The end of another season, and now for some time away from the studio.
Oh, Mark, we're not done. Now the fun starts. It's the offseason.
The combine.
Guys running really fast. You bet we're covering
it. Free agency.
Old faces and new places. Of course we'll talk about
it. Got the draft.
The next generation of stars. It's a must.
I'll just set up a sleeping bag in the studio.
That's right. There's no better way to stay up to date on the latest from our league than listening to Around the NFL. We'll break down all the moves in free agency and make sure you're ready for the start of next season.
I'll be here, so you should listen to every word we say about everything we see.
That's right, Mark.
Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
Hustler Turf, the brand lawn care pros have trusted for six decades. Go to hustlerturf.com. Find a dealer near you. You know, I was thinking about Elon Musk the other day. He bought Twitter, or is, you know, trying to get it approved, right? You go through some regulatory process, whatever rich guys do. And I was thinking about this, is let's say there's more trolls out there. You do have filters on Twitter. So I use my filters all the time. If you don't follow me, I can't see your tweets. I can also double down. If I don't follow you, I don't see anything you send to me. So I got a bunch of filters there. I don't see 99% of trolls, and there's no value to trolls, right? They don't elevate my content. They don't give me more money or better ratings. They don't make me happier. So if you're not going to elevate my space, because, you know, the phone's in my pocket. It's personal to me. I don't want people that are just abrasive and agitating. There's no value in it for me, right? I'm not a better broadcaster the next day with it. I make mistakes sometimes. Who cares? Like, I'm taking shots, right? So, like, to me, if you want to eliminate trolls, just go to your filter. Like,
yeah, they're called quality filters. Quality.
I that's what I do. You could just go to your phone and just filter. I want to see some. But for mostly people I follow, smart people, people can give me really good information.
Yeah, well,
reporters.
I mean, if you wouldn't ask someone for advice, why would you take their criticism?
That's exactly it. So I just use all my filters. I don't see any of the bad stuff. It's one thing. I like to hear reporters. Like, I want to hear a legitimate reporter's opinion.
Right.
I don't want to hear crazy people out there just trolling people. I'm like, why would I want that? There's no, and so I don't deal with it.
Yeah, for the platforms that don't allow that, I just block people.
Yeah, I don't. I'd rather mute them so they think I'm following them, drive them crazy. And they sit there all day worrying about me, and I'm not there, so that I don't even block them.
Everyone's a bigger advocate of the muting.
Yeah, that's a real popular feature there. You know, Elon knows what he's doing. He'll be fine. Charles Davis does too. NFL Network, voice of Madden NFL football. Okay, Charles, I'm looking at your mock draft. So here we go. So here's my first argument. You have Trayvon Walker, and I never have a problem drafting SEC guys. Okay, you can almost, outside a quarterback, you could just draft the SEC and make your roster just fine. But here's what I worry about Trayvon Walker. He's a one-year starter. He wasn't that productive. I watched a lot of Georgia games, and I don't even think he was the most highest, you know, the best NFL prospect sometimes. You got him going number one. Does he blow you away? Do you think he's better than Aiden Hutchinson?
No, Colin, I don't. I think Aiden Hutchinson's the best player in this draft. You know, when we do these mocks, a lot of it is what we expect to happen. And we also have to go with some past history, what we think a GM or an organization is going to do. It's not that Trayvon Walker's a bad player. He's an excellent football player. And obviously he got the nation's attention at the combine. You also have to look at how he was asked to play at Georgia. Taking on a lot of double teams, pulling people with him, which allowed some of those other players to come to the front, especially those three linebackers that'll be gone by the end of day two, where he would make a play to take on people, they would go make a play for him. Again, he wasn't asked to be an edge rusher either very often in line. So what the GM of Jacksonville, Trent Baalke, and his staff are betting on is that ceiling, see, we're doing that scout buzz talk now, is really high, that he will learn to be that edge rusher. He has the skills requisite. They'll hone them to be the edge rusher they want, but he brings everything else you want to the table. The same as Aiden Hutchinson. He brings the all-out effort. He brings the leadership. He brings the love of the game. He brings the physical characteristics. So that's why I have him number one, because I think he fits what Trent Baalke used to draft in San Francisco, and that's what they're counting on there. And Hutchinson goes two to Detroit. And Colin, that's just simply central casting right there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, interesting player to me is Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, who I've met a couple times, once maybe twice, I think once. And there's a little bit of glamour to him. He did dominate, but it was the Pac-12. Can you put him in space? Can he cover a back? What do you make of him as a player when you look at film?
Well, I don't want him in space very often covering a back because, Colin, that's not what he does best. I've had this discussion with many of my colleagues in the coaching business. I'm like, you know, sometimes I think we all get up on that board, that grease board now. It was a chalkboard when I was in school, so I still want to clap a few erasers. But we get up on that board, Colin, and we can make the X's and O's do whatever we want, right? That doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. Like, you can say, well, Kayvon Thibodeau, I could drop him in here and he can cover this guy. Why would I do that? What we're watching right now on tape is what he does best. He moves forward. He chases people down. He harasses quarterbacks in the pocket. If I have him in coverage a whole lot, I think I'm doing a disservice to my overall defense and to what he does best. What's most interesting about him is he is a true 2022 young man. What I mean by that is he speaks of words of branding and you know, what the media does and why I went to Oregon instead of other places and what it'll do for me in the future. And for maybe some of us older people, that scares the heck out of us. Does he love football? Does he care? I think that he does, and I think he'll prove that moving forward. And I'll finish with this. A couple past GMs that I talked to, I asked them, Colin, kids like Thibodeau, pass rushers where we said, is their motor wide open? Do they play hard every down? Who did you see about like that in the past that had future success? Two names came at me from a lot of different guys. You ready?
Yep.
Bruce Smith with Buffalo and Myles Garrett now with Cleveland, where they were both questioned that way and turned into great players. I'm counting on Thibodeau to be one of those guys to be like that.
One more guy, Derek Stingley, scares me to death. Huge, mega talent, never as good as he was as a freshman. You play in the SEC at Tennessee, scares me. Why should I draft him?
He scares you with legit reason because 2019, you would have taken him as fast as you possibly could.
Yeah,
and
great.
He would have never even blinked, right? You would have been like, Derek Stingley, boom, we're done here. 2020 and 21, injuries, team wasn't as good in 20 after winning a national title. And then 21, I think we have to do a little more homework. Remember the opener against UCLA? That wasn't pretty, was it?
Nope.
Turns out he had that Liz Frank injury that he tried to play through. That never came out of his camp that you heard them say an excuse. This kid tried to play and then took the hit when it didn't go very well. I saw his workout at Pro Day. That looked like the Derek Stingley we were used to seeing. That looked like the kid we're going to get. I'm counting on him to rise back up and be 2019 Derek Stingley. I know that you're worried, and rightly so, because Gardner has been steady and ascending from Cincinnati and deserves his status. But I wouldn't be surprised, Colin, if the first real roar we get in this draft is at three with Houston, and if they took Derek Stingley instead of Gardner or instead of an offensive lineman.
Charles Davis, Vegas, NFL Network. Always great stuff. Always does his homework. Good seeing you, man.
Always great to see you, Colin. You take care of yourself. And look, block people, because the muting people, they will eventually find you, and you got to deal with them again anyway. Just go ahead and block them.
All right. Well, we're talking football. Probably better to block than mute in football, so let's just do that. I think you're right. Charles Davis. Yeah. You're a blocker. I'm a muter.
It gives me such sick satisfaction to block people. It is a sickness. It makes me happy.
All right.
Like, I'll just read it and be like, into the abyss.
Same way I felt in high school when I did, like, a two-hand jam on a guy.
Oh,
like 360
a two-hand
reverse,
jam,
boom.
360
that just
reverse.
Gave me such great feeling when I did that on my Nerf hoop connected to my door in my bedroom.
Moms run the world this Mother's Day. Show her you appreciate her. 1-800-Flowers.com. $25, 2 dozen assorted roses. $25 off. 1-800-Flowers.com. Code HERD.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.